Live all across the United States and Canada and around the world, we're on the air because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll be going to your questions in just a moment, but I want to say just a quick word about the Christian Research Journal, which equips you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The cover story of the current edition of the Christian Research Journal is on near-death experiences. And one of the things I say in those articles is that the stories that have come out regarding near-death experiences are contradictory. And therefore, they can all be wrong, but logically, they can't all be right. Therefore, if you want to know about what happens after death, not just clinical death, but biological death, we are well served to test all things in light of Scripture and then hold fast to the good. Again, the Christian Research Journal, it's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as always, Resource Consultants, they're standing by. That number, 888-7000, in the letters CRI. Again, the number to dial to get your question answered live on today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. First up today, Rindau, listening in Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Rindau.
Yeah, hi, Hank. Hyper Grace Movement with Andrew Farley, Joseph Prince. Are you familiar with that teaching?
Yeah, I am. In fact, it's interesting. I was just talking about the Christian Research Journal, and in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, we deal with Joseph Prince, and many of the things that he teaches are similar to what is being taught by Andrew Farley. Of course, Joseph Prince is steeped in Word of Faith theology, the idea that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can, well, they can get anything they want, a palace like the Taj Mahal, a Rolls Royce in their driveway. Again, because it is faith in their own faith rather than faith in their God. But both Farley and Joseph Prince have in common antinomianism, or against law. Now, Prince is sort of a sophisticated way of backing his way out of that charge, but he does so because he doesn't realize that there are at least three uses of the law. But I think more to the point, both Farley and Prince are teaching this notion that once you are forgiven, you never again have to confess your sin, which, of course, is decidedly against what the Scriptures are teaching to us. 1 John 1 makes it very clear that we are to confess our sins. James does the exact same thing, and he denotes a continuing action. Same thing, of course, is incumbent in praying the Lord's Prayer. It is an indication that we are to daily confess our sins. Now, confession of sins keeps your communion with God. Unconfessed sins ultimately don't break your union with God, but they do break communion with God, and therefore we're urged by the biblical writers to daily confess our sins. Now, it is true that what Prince and Farley do is they make it look as though they're appealing to biblical text, but what they do is they read a text and then take it out of context to support their own pretext.
Right, right. They actually, I went on Andrew Farley's website, and he has some videos on there that I watch, and there was all kinds of red flags, but they didn't really argue the point about confession as much as repentance. they said that they don't have to repent anymore because God has forgiven them for all of their sins, past, present, and future, which is true. However, I mean, don't we still have to repent from things? I mean, there's all kinds of scriptures in the New Testament about repenting. They say after the resurrection, all the teachings of Jesus doesn't count because that was the old covenant, and all kinds of red flags. But what do you think about that?
Well, it's the exact same point. We are called ultimately to recognize that we're sinners, to repent of our sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Those are the entrance requirements into the kingdom. But as those who embrace Jesus Christ, we are positionally accounted as righteous before God. Practically, we are still sinners. And I've mentioned this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast before, but it bears repeating. It's why Luther called us snow-covered dung. It's because we have a sin nature, and therefore, when we sin, we must repent of our sins, very much like David modeled in Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquities, cleanse me from my sin. Also, this notion that the Lord's Prayer is under the old covenant and therefore isn't applicable to us today is simply nonsense. It is a failure to recognize that the covenants are the same covenants. One is qualitatively different in that Jesus has now come and he is the substance that fulfills the shadow. But it's not as though they're altogether different covenants. The one thing we know by being students of the Bible is God has only had one covenant community, one chosen people, beautifully connected by a cross and illustrated by Paul as a cultivated olive tree.
Yeah, I tell you, Hank, I know some people personally very well that they have fallen in love with this teaching. And I asked them, how do you deal with sin in your life? How do you grow and mature? How do you have even fellowship with one another if you don't account any sin? See, they think that they actually think that they don't have to deal with sin anymore because it's under the blood. So how do you go through life? You don't even talk about your sin anymore, and they say, yeah, we don't have to. We've been cleansed.
Yeah, well, again, it's a misappropriation of the biblical text. It is true on the one hand that we are positionally accounted as righteous before God. In other words, we have a position of righteousness because we have, as Paul says in Philippians 3, embraced a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. But while we're positionally accounted as righteous before God, as I was saying earlier, we are still practically sinners, and therefore we have to daily confess our sins, knowing that He's faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there's going to be a time where we will be in practice what we are now in position, but that doesn't happen until we're glorified, and that happens when Jesus appears a second time.
Amen. Amen. Can I get that information on your website?
Yeah, the current edition of the Christian Research Journal has an article on Joseph Prince that touches on this issue. We also have a fact sheet on Andrew Farley that you can get. I don't know if they're up on the web for certain, but if you hang on, we can put them into your hands.
Oh, wonderful. I'd love that. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Bless you. Back to the phone lines. Bill next, Fort Wayne, Indiana, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Nice talking to you.
Honor and pleasure to talk to you, and I'm so thankful that you're allowing yourself to be used by God to give us the instruction. I was just so listening to the last caller. My question, Hank, is I have some very dear friends of mine that are of the Catholic faith. They're good people. We can have some discussion on a spiritual, biblical-type fashion, but they always are able to stop me short of any further conversation concerning the Bible because under their thoughts and feelings, they are a higher class of Christian. They were the original church, and the Bible is not really complete because of the extras that they have concerning their religion. King James didn't do it complete and just left them out on his own accord. I try and explain my thoughts are, he must have been anointed by God to do what he did, but I don't know how to answer or continue a conversation when they come at me like that. I didn't know if there's anything in Scripture that actually points to what they're calling the left out books or...
Yep. Well, you know what they're talking about principally is the Apocrypha. And okay. these are essentially seven books that are added to the canon of the Roman Catholic Church. They're also added, by the way, to the canon of the Eastern Orthodox, but the Eastern Orthodox see these seven books on a lower footing. I myself am very fond of the Apocrypha, but I don't consider it canonical, which is to say canon or canonical has to do with rule or measuring rod, and therefore there are principles by which we discover what God has determined to be authentically His Word, His inspired, infallible Word. And I don't think that the Apocrypha meets the test. And this is something that, of course, many throughout church history have agreed with. In fact, Athanasius, Origen, Jerome, they all opposed the Apocrypha. Even Augustine, who accepted the Apocrypha, recognized that the Jews did not accept those books as part of the Old Testament canon. So while I regard the Apocrypha highly and think it's extraordinarily helpful to get a grasp of what happened during the quote-unquote silent years between the Testaments, historically it's just fantastic. I mean, you learn, for example, about what happened in the Great Persecution predicted by David that took place four centuries later under Antiochus IV Epiphanes. And the graphic stories of sacrifice and service to our Lord are touching, they're moving. So I think the Apocrypha is wonderful, but I don't think it is canonical. And again, the canon is not determined by men. It's only discovered by men based on principles that are determined by God. And we call those the principles of canonicity. So, yeah, I simply disagree with Catholics, and if they think that they're on a higher footing because they hold to the Apocrypha, I think you deal with them with gentleness and with respect. You deal with them lovingly. I mean, the big issue here is the main and the plain things. The main and the plain things are what unite us or what ought to unite us. So in essentials, unity, as we always say, and non-essentials, liberty, and all things charity.
Well, not wanting to offend my friends, I appreciate that answer, Hank, because it's not a point that should hold us from conversation. It should be something to enhance our conversation further, according to Scripture, that Jesus is the main thing. Thank you, Hank, so much for clearing that up.
Well, you got it, Bill. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Denise next. She's listening in Michigan, La Pierre, Michigan. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Hank. My question is, some friends of mine were having a discussion, and if a person backslides, do they lose their salvation?
Well, look, in my view, if you are saved, you don't have to be born again and again and again. You're born again. And what that means is that you have an earnest within you, and that is the Holy Spirit that guarantees your salvation. Now, with birth comes growth, and therefore, we're daily being conformed to the image of God. And as we're being conformed to the image of God, our lives change. They're transformed day by day. That's what we call the process of sanctification. And when you are engaged then in growing as a reproducing disciple maker, your behavior changes. So I don't think that you lose your salvation, but in many cases, your behavior will demonstrate whether you are genuinely saved in the first place. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. And Jesus then goes on to say that many are going to say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I'll have to tell them plainly, in fact, Jesus says, I never knew you. So there are those who have a said faith as opposed to a real faith. And they might be able to fake it before men, but ultimately they can't fake it before God. I think Jesus, when he spoke about those that say, Lord, Lord, may well have had Judas in mind, who did all the right things, was in Christ's inner circle, and yet Jesus identified him for what he really was, a devil. Not ontologically, but in terms of the fact that he followed the master, not because he loved the master, rather he loved what was on the master's table.
Okay, thank you so much.
You got it. Losing your salvation is an issue that comes up over and over again on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It's an issue I address in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, you can talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 in the letter CRI. We'll be right back in just a few moments, answering your questions live right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you're hanging on, I'll get to you. For those wanting to dial in their question, good time to do it is right now. We got two segments left. 888-ASK-HANK is the number to dial. Be right back.
Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app, available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read articles to help you learn and defend the faith. So go to equip.org/app and download this free app today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Stay tuned for more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In the 1800s, John Nelson Darby proclaimed his new interpretation of the Bible's teaching on the end of the world and gained millions of followers. But few today realize that his misinterpretation of Scripture leads to a nightmarish end-time scenario for the Jews that would dwarf the horrors of the Holocaust. In their novel Fuse of Armageddon, Hank and co-author Sigmund Brauer explore Darby's vision through the eyes of hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn as he attempts to unravel a sinister plot. Through the power of story, you'll gain insight into the Middle East crisis and be challenged to ask yourself if what we've been told is the only godly response may not be in God's will at all. Fuse of Armageddon is our thank you when you support more CRI broadcasts and resources with a gift today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app, available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app.
The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. Did you know that the Bible Answer Man broadcast you're listening to right now is made possible by the support of truth seekers like you? That means your support truly matters. And when you give today, we'll show our appreciation with a copy of Hank's fast-paced novel, Fuse of Armageddon, an adventure story about the terrifying real-world consequences of an end-times view held by millions of Christians today. To give your gift and request Fuse of Armageddon, call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thanks so much, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up is Bob, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, Bob.
I would like to know what you consider, other than the birth of Jesus that's predicted in Isaiah, what other areas of the Bible could you point to that serve as historical or archaeological verifications that, you know, the Bible is accurate and true?
Yeah. You know, in my book, Has God Spoken, I have a section on archaeology. And then there's a summary. What I do is I make it memorable by what I call memorable snapshots. So you can actually remember the information that is given to you. So what I use as the acronym so you can remember this information is SPADE, because archaeologists use spades, right? So it's an easy association to make. The S in the acronym SPADE, which I, again, have in my memorable snapshots, is steels and stones. And I give a couple of different examples. For example, the Merneptah steel, which presents a formidable challenge against Exodus deniers. In fact, the Dan steel, or Stella as it's sometimes called, is very much like that, in that many people have for many years tried to deny the existence of King David or relegate him to a petty hilltop chieftain. But now the Dan steel is discovered and shows that this is absolute sophistry. It's just dead wrong. In fact, Time magazine rightly observed that the skeptics' claim that King David never existed is now hard to defend. The P in SPADE stands for pools, and there I point out that some of the most recent archaeological discoveries with respect to the pools that are discussed in John's Gospel, for example, those pools are described by John in meticulous fashion. Now it turns out, through archaeology, that every detail is buttressed by fact. So it's not only that the people and the places are established or corroborated through archaeology, but the actual particulars as well. The A stands for Assyrian archaeology, and I think this is particularly powerful, because for many years, people actually distrusted the Bible because they said there's no such thing as the Assyrian people, because the Assyrians were only known for many, many years through the biblical account. And then Layard, the great Assyriologist, Indiana Jones, if there ever was one, began digging along the Tigris River, and he uncovered Nineveh. And today, no one doubts that the Assyrians are real. So Assyrian archaeology, and I give a pretty substantive treatment of this in my book, Assyrian archaeology is a powerful proof that the details that you find in the Bible are corroborated through archaeological history. Then you have the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is the D in SPADE, and this is particularly significant today because anyone, if you're a Boy Scout or if you are involved in any kind of school today, you can go to a computer and with the click of a 21st century mouse, you can uncover a complete first century library. It's at the click of a mouse. It's available to you today. And the Dead Sea Scrolls are just incredible substantiation of the biblical text itself. And then the E stands for Epic of Gilgamesh, which is a Babylonian. It's a corrupted flood account. It looks at the flood through the opaque lens of paganism, but nonetheless serves in a very powerful fashion to undergird the biblical account of Noah's flood. So those are a few that you can remember, but there's much more that I've written about in my book, Has God Spoken?
Okay. Well, what's the name of the book again, please?
It's called Has God Spoken?
Has God Spoken.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jonathan. He's listening in Memphis, Tennessee, WCRV. Hi, Jonathan.
Hello, Mr. Hendergraft. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. My question regards the judgment seat of Christ. I know that there are rewards that we as Christians can gain for the Lord Jesus Christ, but I know that we can also, from what I have an understanding of, is we can lose our rewards as well. And I just wanted to know, what amount of sin does a Christian have to commit in order to lose his reward for the Lord Jesus?
Well, remember that you are saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone. And Paul makes this explicit in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he says that no one can lay any foundation other than Jesus Christ, but on that foundation you can build. You can build using gold, silver, costly stones on the one hand. On the other hand, you can build using wood, hay, and stubble. And the day of the Lord will reveal how you have built. Now, the gold, silver, costly stones are emblematic of building enduring rewards. The wood, hay, and stubble, those which could be extinguished through fire. And Paul then cashes out that metaphor by saying, look, there are many people who are going to survive, as it were, the day of judgment, but only as one escaping a burning building, with nothing more, as it were, than charred clothes upon their back. And what he's underscoring again is the reality that you can't lose your salvation, but you can, in fact, have little to show for the time you spent on earth. And therefore, we should follow the admonition that is replete through the biblical text, and that is, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but rather store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And of course, Jesus says this in the very last book of the Bible, behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. So one of the dominant teachings in Scripture is that while we're saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone, we are saved according to good works. You can't work for your salvation, but certainly you can work from your salvation. Right. And I have written about this in some detail in my new book, Afterlife.
Right, right. Absolutely. That's good. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, we work to be saved. We work because we are saved, as Dr. Adrian Rogers once put it, you know, but absolutely. That's good. I really appreciate that, Mr. Haynes.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call, Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Adam next. Fayetteville, Arkansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Mr. Hendergraft. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. My wife asked me a question last week, and I just didn't know how to answer it. She had read an article in some newspaper or something, and she asked me, how does somebody who's born with both male and female genitalia fit into God's plan? Because she said they have to grow up and then at some point in their life decide if they want to be a boy or a girl. And I just didn't know how to answer that.
Well, by the way, this is one of the questions I address in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. But at the root of this question is a reality, and that is we are born into a cursed creation. And so there are all kinds of things that happen as a result of the curse. There are deformities, there are sickness, there's destruction, there's decay, there's death. and there are abnormalities that have resulted as a direct result, again, of Adam and Eve falling into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death. And that's just the reality. And so you have these kinds of abnormalities that take place in the creation in which we live. And we are suffering the effects of the fall. So if you have a condition, whether it's cancer or this condition, what you have to do is seek the best biblical and the best medical solution that you possibly can, because we are responsible for the temple. And until this is sorted out, it's probably best not to get married. So you first want to sort this out in a way that's satisfactory. But again, I have written about this in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. And, you know, I talk about the fact that, first of all, this is a very rare condition. And I think we should emphasize that, because a lot of people want to set principle based on the exception. And I think that's going about it backwards. And as I point out, just like with the treatment of any rare disorder, gender assignment is complex and it's subject to human error. And therefore, again, as I mentioned earlier, you have to seek the very best medical and biblical advice. But being born with genetic, psychological, or hormonal abnormalities is normal license for sexual sin, that being born with violent tendencies would be a license for being violent. Again, we have to deal with the circumstance in which we find ourselves and then deal with it in a biblical way.
Okay. Thank you very much for your answer. I'll relay that to her, and hopefully that will put her at ease.
Yeah, and the actual entry, which I found in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, is titled, How Do Biblical Ethics Apply to Hermaphrodites? The final point that I make, something I alluded to earlier, is that it's crucial to recognize that all disorders, all diseases, all deformities, all decay and death ultimately result from the fall. And while sin, suffering, and sickness are present realities, we have the certain promise that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. So we see even in our difficulties, God has a transcendent plan. I love this poem called The Weaver. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I do not choose the colors. He weaveth steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget. He sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly will God unfurl that canvas and explain the reason why the dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. So nothing ultimately is random in God's universe. He uses everything for His sovereign, eternal purposes. And for the hermaphrodite, for the person who suffers with cancer, the person who has perpetual pain, there's no magic bullet. Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties, the maladies of life. It gives us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the promise, through the hope, through the certainty of resurrection, which is the very thing that allowed the early Christians to bear every imaginable difficulty, because they knew one day soon this universe would be transformed, and what happens to the universe goes hand in hand with what happens to our bodies. Again, written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
At the Christian Research Institute, we are greatly encouraged by the testimonies we hear from listeners like you. If you'd like to share with us how God is using CRI in your life, please call our testimony line at 866-253-4656 and record your story. We would love to hear from you. Your testimony will be especially encouraging to all those who support the ministry, so give us a call today. That number again is 866-253-4656. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in a moment.
In the 1800s, John Nelson Darby proclaimed his new interpretation of the Bible's teaching on the end of the world and gained millions of followers. But few today realize that his misinterpretation of Scripture leads to a nightmarish end-time scenario for the Jews that would dwarf the horrors of the Holocaust. In their novel Fuse of Armageddon, Hank and co-author Sigmund Brauer explore Darby's vision through the eyes of hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn as he attempts to unravel a sinister plot. Through the power of story, you'll gain insight into the Middle East crisis and be challenged to ask yourself if what we've been told is the only godly response may not be in God's will at all. Fuse of Armageddon is our thank you when you support more CRI broadcasts and resources with a gift today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Wondering, what does the Bible have to say about that? CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast are here to help. But each month we depend entirely on God's provision through friends like you to make it happen. Your gift of ministry support today will help produce more of the broadcast and resources you trust. When you give, we'll thank you with a copy of Hank's novel, Fuse of Armageddon, a tale of intrigue, adventure, and surprising answers about the end times. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to order your copy now. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And a quick note to all of our listeners, please be generous this month. We are quite a bit behind, actually, at this point this month, and we're getting pretty close to the end of the month. So if you can give generously, it would make a great big difference. Give as you've been given. Don't give to get, but give because you want to extend His kingdom, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And again, as our way of saying thank you, be pleased to send you a copy of Fuse of Armageddon, where I use the power of story to communicate the logical truth propositions that I've written about in other places, such as my book, The Apocalypse Code. You can get your copy, by the way, in a safe, secure fashion when you give this month at equip.org. You can write me As always, at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000, and the letter CRI. For those who give a gift of $100 or more, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of Fuse of Armageddon. I think you'll enjoy it. It's fast-paced, but you'll learn a lot in the process. Let's go back to the phone lines. Nicole, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I am fairly new to my faith, and, well, I grew up in church, but I'm 30 years old now, and I'm getting back really, really connected with God, and the women that are helping me through the process are apostolic, and they're kind of always talking to me about the Holy Spirit and how you need to get the Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit, and the only way you know you have it is by evidence of speaking in tongues. And then I asked my grandmother, and she said, no, you already have it working with you, in you. And so I'm just so confused about that.
Well, grandmother always knows best, Nicole. She's absolutely right. I mean, when you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. In fact, you have come into intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not, of course, an it, as though it were a power source, but a personal being. And the Holy Spirit as such has come into your life, and you have intimacy with the God who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So all believers, according to Scripture, are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. In terms of empowering of the Holy Spirit, this is something that happens on a day-by-day basis. We might even say on a moment-by-moment basis. When I walked into the studio today, I prayed, Lord, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. In other words, I wanted the Holy Spirit to empower me for service. And that's typically what is called infilling of the Holy Spirit, is empowering for service. Now, Pentecostals and people in the apostolic movement will tell you that tongues is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you this, on the basis of Scripture, you might argue that it is a evidence, but you can't argue that it is the evidence. In fact, if you go to the book of Acts, Jesus in his last words in the book of Acts, he tells his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus says to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now notice this, that already they were followers of Jesus Christ, and therefore they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says, but now you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. In other words, they're going to be infilled or empowered for service, and then you will, what is the evidence? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the evidence of the empowering or the infilling of the Spirit was they were witnesses for Jesus Christ. So while some might argue that tongues is a evidence, again, I don't think you can argue that it is the evidence, because being a witness is an evidence as well. So there are many ways in which you evidence that the Holy Spirit is infilling you and empowering you for service.
Okay.
Make sense?
Thank you. I've been going back and forth with that, and I go to their church, and everyone there speaks in tongues, and it just kind of isolates you because you're like, well, maybe I'm not supposed, maybe I can't get it.
Well, tongues is not for everyone. I mean, it's something that you can demonstrate by simply going to the biblical text. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you might want to write that passage down. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul here says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Well, the answer to that question is no. And Paul goes on to say, eagerly desire the greater gifts. We have different gifts according to the grace given us, and we have to use our gift in proportion to our faith. So not all people have the gift of tongues, and it can also be argued that tongues is not even normative for today, which is to say it's not the norm. God can certainly give someone the gift of being able to speak in another language, but it's not the norm.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Nicole, grow in grace and knowledge. Keep learning.
I will.
God bless you.
Thank you.
You got it. By the way, I'm going to stay in studio for an extra hour once I go off the air today. Continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll try to get to you in this hour, but if I can't, I'll get to you in the next hour. And to those that want me to answer their question in the next hour, I'll record my answers to your questions and play that on a day when I'm traveling somewhere. So, again, I'm going to stay in studio for an extra hour. Once I go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. So you can start dialing right now and for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK translates to 888-275-4265. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David in Alton, Illinois, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, David.
Hi, Mr. Handergraff. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have kind of a strange question. I'm curious about Satan's position or standing with God, that he has allowed an audience with God to be able to even make a request to sift Peter like wheat or to make a request against Job. From my mindset, which I know isn't God's, and from a loving father's perspective, if an enemy came to me and asked permission to have at one of my children, I wouldn't give him audience at all.
Well, first of all, recognize that everything is immediately accessible to God. That's what we talk about when we talk about the omnipresence of God. So when Satan is thrown out of heaven, it's a way of talking about the fact that he has broken relationship with God. He has been cast out of the loving presence of God, but it certainly doesn't mean he's out of the presence of God. Secondly, recognize that we have three enemies delineated in Scripture: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we are being tempted by the flesh daily. We are being tempted by the world daily, and we are being tempted by Satan and his minions daily. So the real issue is not whether or not we live in a fallen world in which we're tempted, but rather, how are we going to withstand those temptations? So to go back to the illustration of your children, what you would do is you would prepare them for the real world in which they live. You wouldn't send them out unprepared, but you would prepare them for the spiritual warfare in which they find themselves. And that is precisely why, if you go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, you hear Paul telling us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against principalities and powers of darkness. So if we put on the full armor of God, then we're invincible in spiritual warfare. If we don't, we're guaranteed casualties.
That is an excellent answer. I appreciate that so much.
Well, you got it, David. And I've written about this in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. I think this is one of the really important things for all of us to recognize. We are in a battle, and therefore we ought to be prepared for that battle, and we have a prescription for preparation which is given to us in Ephesians 10 through 20. So I explain not only what the pieces of the armor are, but how to apply them daily in our lives.
Okay, Mr. Handergraff, thank you so very much. I really appreciate it.
You got it. It's my pleasure. Barbara next, Godfrey, Illinois. Hi, Barbara.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I have a question. I wondered if you knew anything about Manasseh Jordan Ministries out of New York. And my question was, I didn't know if it was wise to contribute to that ministry because I don't know that much about it.
Yeah, don't. No, it's not a reliable ministry.
Okay.
You want to contribute to ministries that are reliable, ministries that are teaching biblical truth. And this is a ministry that is decidedly unbiblical. Now, it's not that they don't use the Bible, but it's that they abuse the Bible. They use texts out of context for their own pretext, including the very notion that Manasseh Jordan himself is a prophet. Now, it's certainly okay to say you're a prophet in the sense of a church planter or someone who is edifying or strengthening the body of Christ as delineated in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but not a prophet in the sense of the Old Testament prophets or the New Testament apostles. They were the foundation of the Christian church. Jesus Christ is a cornerstone, and he's not relaying the foundation with people like Manasseh Jordan in the present. He has more hang-ups theologically than a dry cleaner, not a reliable minister at all.
Oh, okay. Anything else?
Well,
I know his father's name is Bernard.
Yeah.
And he's been on the Benny Hinn.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is all part and parcel. It's a gooey mixture of word of faith, prosperity message, and again, very, very unreliable. I've written about people like that in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, as well as Counterfeit Revival, both works available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check them out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As promised, can stay right here for the next hour. Continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, do be patient. I'll get to you. And if you're dialing in for the next hour, I'll be answering your questions when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. So you can start dialing that number right now. And for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. For your support, we do what we do because truth matters. We're trying to win a popularity contest. Bottom line, we do what we do because truth matters. See you tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanna Graf. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just log on to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast on your computer or download archived broadcast. To talk to a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters.
In the 1800s, John Nelson Darby proclaimed his new interpretation of the Bible's teaching on the end of the world and gained millions of followers. But few today realize that his misinterpretation of Scripture leads to a nightmarish end-time scenario for the Jews that would dwarf the horrors of the Holocaust. In their novel, Fuse of Armageddon, Hank and co-author Sigmund Brouwer explore Darby's vision through the eyes of hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn, as he attempts to unravel a sinister plot. Through the power of story, you'll gain insight into the Middle East crisis and be challenged to ask yourself if what we've been told is the only godly response may not be in God's will at all. Fuse of Armageddon is our thank you when you support more CRI broadcasts and resources with a gift today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live. Listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features,
and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6.